Hello, New Hope family and extended family, for those of you who don't consider yourself regular New Hopers. I'm extremely excited to be in your living rooms this morning and to also have you here in my living room. It's pretty good news, but yeah, mostly I love you guys and I miss you all very much. So to start off, I wanted to give a little context on why I wanted to speak on this topic today. A couple of months ago, when Joy sent around the list of sermon topics on the schedule, there were 2 weeks that had not yet been claimed. One was on living an abundant life in the Holy Spirit, which sounded amazing, and the other was about Peter's denial of Christ on the night Jesus was arrested. And literally, I laughed because I was like, that's the most unrelatable Bible story. Why would I ever deny Christ like that? And I, literally felt the gaze of God turn toward me. And I felt quite squeamish and fairly confident that I was going to get a good lesson from him in the near future. A couple of days later, I was on my Evernote app, which is an app to write and store notes on your phone. And when I opened it, I opened into a folder that at the top had Christ written in big capital letters. And I panicked. I was scared of someone looking over and seeing that written there, knowing that there are so many different experiences of the church and perceptions of Jesus. I didn't want to risk making anyone nervous or offending anyone or making people fearful that I am some active evangelist trying to convert anyone I can get my hands on. Anyway, I freaked out and I sprinted out of the folder as quickly as I could to a folder much less innocuous labeled lists. And then I remembered Peter and how scornful I had been of him, and I felt really overwhelmingly ashamed. It's true that Jesus is controversial now. He's too conservative, too exclusive, or it's true that people have had bad experiences of the church that can make them on edge when they find out you're a Christian. But during Peter's time, Jesus was a heretic, considered punishable by death by the majority. It made me wonder how many times in my normal daily life do I deny Christ in gestures so hasty as a swipe on my phone for reasons far less significant than Peter's. So indeed, I knew I had a lot to learn and a good lesson to go on, and I am extremely excited to share with you what that journey has led me to. So, today we are looking at Peter's denial of Jesus and, good news, his later recommissioning as a disciple. For those of you who aren't familiar with Peter, he's one of the disciples of Jesus and was extremely bold and brash and hasty to serve and obey Jesus. He's the person who, when Jesus invited him to walk on water, immediately launched himself out of the boat and started walking, then realized what he was doing, panicked, and started to drown. And on the night Jesus had his last meal with all of his disciples, Peter declared to Jesus that even if all else failed, even if everyone else fell away from Jesus, he alone would stay true and stay strong, and that his love for Jesus could never fail. And in that moment, Jesus told Peter that, in fact, Peter was going to deny him 3 times that very night, and Peter insisted it couldn't be possible. As we know, Peter then denies Jesus 3 times that very night when people come to him and question whether he's an associate of Jesus. And so then in Luke we read, "Just as he, Peter, was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him. before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And then after Jesus' resurrection, a few days later, he appears to Peter and a few other disciples while they're out fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And important note, this is the same place Jesus originally met Peter and Andrew and called them to be disciples at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Then, as now, the group had spent the day unsuccessfully trying to fish. Now, as then, Jesus commands them to cast their net into the water one last time, and they pull up a miraculous haul of fish. As soon as Peter realizes that it's Jesus on the shore speaking to them, he throws himself out of the boat in all of his clothes and swims his way to shore. Which brings us to our passage for today. This is John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So in this passage, we see both Jesus confronting a sinner and what it looks like to respond to that confrontation. We see Jesus' questions, Peter's answers, and his restored commissioning. And then we're going to look at what that means for us. So to unpack this passage, I first want to give many thanks to commentaries written by Ellicott and McLaren because they were extremely insightful and helpful. So first, if we look at the 3 questions Jesus asks Peter, he asks him 3 times whether Peter loves him, the same number of times that Peter denied Jesus. So Jesus really isn't holding back on the extent of Peter's sin when he confronts him. Peter denied him 3 times, so there are 3 confessions, 3 new proclamations of his love for Jesus, and 3 redemptions each time. What also stands out is that Jesus doesn't call Peter Peter. He refers to him as Simon, which is the name Peter bore before he declared Christ as the Messiah, and before Christ gave him a new name and a new calling. So Jesus is gentle in the way he's speaking to Peter, but he's very clear that he has fallen from his original commissioning. And then lastly, in the last question Jesus asks, he says, "Do you love me more than these?" I think there's some debate as to what "more than these" refers to, but I find most compelling the argument that these refers to the other disciples that they're with. So Jesus is reminding Peter of that boast he made on the night Jesus died, when Peter said, "I love you, even if all others fall away from you, I alone will remain." And Jesus is questioning, "Do you indeed, Peter, love me more than these?" So that's hard. He's not shying away from the empty boast that Peter made, the denials that he made, and how far that sin has pulled Peter from where he was before. But this is where it gets really good. Jesus only asks Peter about love. He doesn't ask for an apology. He doesn't ask for a declaration of remorse. And he doesn't ask for a promise of better behavior. He's confronting Peter's actions, but ultimately, all he cares about is Peter's heart. He asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And that's sufficient. And he accepts Peter's answer. Even though Peter had proved himself to be full of boastful claims, when Jesus asks, he's willing to accept Peter's proclamation of love. And there's actually two different words being used for the word love. Jesus uses a... This is what McLaren writes. "The kind of love which Christ asks for is higher, nobler, less emotional, and more associated with the whole mind and will. It is the inferior kind, the more warm, more sensuous, more passionate and emotional, which Peter brings." So Jesus is asking for the type of love that Peter proclaimed he had, something that was resolute, couldn't be shaken, and Peter is unable to offer that back. He offers something a little bit more temperamental, something much humbler, and Jesus accepts that. Jesus accepts the love Peter brings to him, even though it's less than the love Christ asks for. It's crazy. And now, if we look at the way Peter responds to Jesus, that really throws me for a loop. He's bold. He tells Jesus, "You know that I love you." He rests confident in how well Christ knows him. Even though Peter had denied Christ, he trusts that Jesus knows the depth of his heart and the love that lies there. And more significant, Peter doesn't question his own love for Christ. Even though he messed up and acted in a way that was totally inconsistent with that love, he doesn't question whether that love exists. I personally really struggle with that. When I mess up, I'm pretty quick to condemn my heart, to assume that I don't love God enough, or else my fears or selfishness or whatever wouldn't have been felt so strong to me in comparison to my love. That's completely the opposite of what's happening here. Peter's heart isn't being condemned. It's not being condemned by Jesus, and it's not being condemned by Peter. It's being accepted exactly the way that it is, and it's being reaffirmed as a heart that does love God. And it's getting to know God's love for him all the more deeply. That's crazy. So whilst the action is being condemned, the heart is being affirmed and restored. So three times, Jesus gently calls Peter to confront his sins. Three times, Peter proclaims his love and rests in the assurance of Christ's love. And lastly, three times, Jesus restores Peter to God's ministry, to feed and care for Christ's lamb and sheep. What we see here is that both Peter's identity and his calling were threatened by sin, and that both were simultaneously restored to him. Firstly, by Christ's sacrifice, because we can't forget that the night Peter denied Jesus was the same night that Jesus was killed, the night that Jesus willingly sacrificed his life as one payment for all of the sin in the world, including Peter's sin. But secondly, it's through a deeply personal confrontation, a direct reckoning with Christ himself. Peter isn't theoretically wiped clean, all set for a future reckoning in heaven. He's restored to a really intimate and active relationship with Christ in the here and now. And that required shining a light on what he had done and stepping instead into God's grace. So I've mentioned realizing all of my small denials of Christ and the shame that that brought. And Once again, as with every occasion when I realized a sin I was unaware of, I was surprised and astounded that the answer was to simply return to the cross, to return to God's grace. And not to do that in an abstract way, but in a really personal conversation. And maybe it's time for all of us to have that personal conversation with God. Perhaps it's for similar reasons to Peter, fears that make us hide our faith or try to hold back on how much reveal about our relationship with Jesus until we know more about the other person. Maybe it's fears of appearing close-minded, uneducated, self-righteous, or fear of offending the peoples scarred by failings of the church. Or maybe it's fear for Jesus' reputation. Am I good enough to proclaim myself as an ambassador of Christ? Or perhaps it's something entirely different that you feel has pulled you adrift from God. Or maybe it's a complex constellation of lies and truths and half-truths that leave you spinning in circles, not sure of where you've gone astray or how to get back. If that's where you feel like you are, I personally would highly recommend writing down all of the beliefs you carry about yourself and all of the beliefs you carry about God and asking God to speak to you about each one of those things. Or to seek support from someone in the church who can help you walk through and find where the truths and the lies are hidden. But for now, I'm going to ask us all to briefly pray, to ask God to shine a light on all of the places where we've gone astray from Him, places where we're acting or thinking in a way that isn't centered in our love for Him or in His love for us. This doesn't mean you need to dredge through your memories searching for forgotten errors or misdeeds. It doesn't mean you need to seek out attitudes in your heart to condemn. This is a chance to bring God into our hidden places, to know where we've turned, but more importantly, to know His love for us, and to know His affirmation of who we are and our love for Him. So let's bow our heads and hold our hands open in front of us, because there's no value in clinging on to our sins when Christ has already told us that we are freed. So let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, please gently face with us the things where we have pulled away from You. Please shine Your light on the places where our fears or desires feel so much stronger than Your love. We pray that You bring Your light to those places so that we can turn back to that light. Thank You, God, for Your forgiveness. Thank You that You know our love for You and that You accept that love. And God, I pray that we come to know Your love ever more deeply. And now, let's all take a chance to answer God's question in our hearts. Do You love me? Feel free to take more time to reflect and think if you need to, but otherwise, have a good rest of your Sunday. It's been really good being with you all, even if virtually. Bye.